This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving to his left, here it comes, and of course it's good from 1,274 feet away, out on the left side. And the way this game has gone, Eddie, you knew when he shot it was going in.
Just cause.
Pacers radio with the call. Not only did that end the Eastern Conference Finals with Rick Carlisle moving on, Pascal Siakam, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. By the way, one of the biggest betting favorites across the last 20 years. They opened as minus 750. Minus 750. Since 05, only the 17-18 Warriors, minus 1,075 against the Cavs, had shorter odds heading into the finals than this year's Thunder, and they are a 9-point favorite for Game 1 Thursday night in OKC.
Yeah, it opened at 8.5, went to 9.5, then got down to 9. You can still maybe get it at 9.5 somewhere else, but it is such a there's no value on Oklahoma City, no value on them to win. They're such a huge favorite. SGA. No value on him to be the MVP either. He is such a massive favorite. Vegas doesn't think very much of this series.
Minus 570. That gives the Thunder an 85% chance of winning the whole thing. Number of games in the series, they pick it to end in 5.
That's where you could, if you were really wanted to bet on the Thunder, bet on the number of games that it's going to end in. That's where you would get your better value, because there's no value on the whatever it is, minus 750.
I don't know. This feels like an easy Thunder win, obviously, but there's also a part of me that, just after having watched Rick Carlisle and the way he coaches and the way he did things here for a decade, the part of me goes like, no team is just going to get run. I wouldn't think. Even last year against the Celtics, when the Celtics were on that insane run, and what they wanted in, it was like 4 or 5 games over the Pacers, but every single one of those games was tight late, and there was maybe a fumble from somebody on Indiana or something would cause it. But they were competitive for 4 or 5 straight games against Boston last year. I can't imagine they're just going to lie down.
And look, this also ends the run for Inside the NBA. They had the Eastern Conference Finals, and this was their last broadcast on TNT with Ernie Johnson, Mr. Turner Sports, saying goodbye.
Look, the four of us, as you've already heard, the four of us are going to be together. Our production crew is going to be together. It's going to be that same bunch. We're still going to be shooting that show in Atlanta. It's just going to air somewhere else. And so the craziness that you've seen, the nonsense and the foolishness and the top-notch basketball analysis, all of that stuff's going to be on. It's going to be on ESPN or ABC next year, not on TNT. For that, we're sad. But I'm proud to say, for the last time, thanks for watching us. It's the NBA on TNT.
And then Shaquille O'Neal had to ruin it by jumping in at the very end and saying, hey, hang on. Can we get a mic drop? It was that corny, cheesy, everyone dropped the microphone. And he didn't allow Ernie Johnson to have the final words on the network.
No, the new guy.
The new guy.
Shaq, the new guy.
Yes, but... And no one has loved or defended Inside the NBA on this radio station more than me. But I'm sitting there watching and I'm saying, same crew, same studio, same production. A little bit too much hoopla here for this. This isn't a goodbye.
You're changing the logo.
Yeah, well,
you're not going to have the TNT logo on the desk.
We're shedding a tear for the network. That's all this is.
That's all it is.
You're just changing networks.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's like, look, I mean...
This big, long, sad goodbye, that's for Ernie Johnson and his bosses. It's zero effect on any of us until you see Brian Windhorst pop on or Stephen A. Smith get on the set and fight the guys. As we pick out and point out how things are different. But I'm like, I'm not getting sad at all. If they were breaking up and not doing this anymore, I might be in sports tears. No, it's not changing.
I don't recall. You guys are much older than I am, so you may remember. Yeah. In 1994, yes. When the NFC moved over to Fox, where like Madden and Summerall on their final CBS broadcast, where they're like shedding tears, like, gosh, this great network, CBS, we are going to miss you dearly. Yeah, we're going to still be calling the same teams next year,
yeah,
and it'll be on Fox, and we'll be with each other the whole time. But,
yeah,
man, I felt a little like RJ watching this week, where I was just like, I was feeling like an inside the NBA hater when they were doing all this emotional pomp and circumstance.
If they were even changing the production crew, I'd be a little bit worried. Or different studio, the different look, I'd be worried.
Yeah, change the production crew from Ernie's perspective. I mean, those are jobs. Jobs of people he knows, right? Those are friends of his. It sounds like everybody is still gainfully employed that's going to be a part of this. So there's nothing. It's nothing different.
And then Shaq, for some reason, I like this part because I like petty. But Shaq is like starting to pick a fight with ESPN and the new network that he's going to.
And like I said, even though the name changes, the engine is still the same. And to that new network we're coming to, we're not coming to F around. And since it's the last show, I'm going to say it. We're not coming to F around. We kicking ass, we taking names, and we taking over. Okay? I love you guys and I appreciate you guys, but hey, all right? Let me see that number one time for the number one show ever on TV. And we come over to take over that next network, too.
Picking a fight with Kendrick Perkins and these guys already.
Yeah. I have, like, the one concern I have is, like, all right, so ESPN, when ESPN gets a hold of something, especially if it's a partner, they appear to me, and
having worked there,
they do have a heavy hand of like, these are our partners, you know, there are certain things that like they don't want you to. My impression is Charles and Kenny, they could go out, they could say whatever they want about the NBA, about Adam Silver, about how the league is run, and when they get to ESPN, I don't know that ESPN is going to be, hey, you guys continue to do everything without any of us stepping in. They let McAfee do that.
Yeah, I think McAfee has broken it. I think he's changed the rules.
Yeah, and I think they realized that they had to adapt to it, and they had to change to it a little bit. I do think it's funny that, like, Shaq's going over there, like, poking them in the eye.
It's really a Jerry Jones mentality. If Jerry Jones was running ESPN, he'd be like, allow them to say negative things. Yeah. Pat McAfee against a commissioner, or Pat McAfee against an athlete, or the TNT guys against Kevin Durant it's a talking point on all the shows.
It is.
So it's having them talk about you, your network, the games. They're talking about you.
They get free promotion from everybody. Blogs, radio, podcasts. I mean, they get free promotion.
It is funny that after Barkley was like the most resistant though to all of this, then all of a sudden he's like, it is an honor to be heading to ESPN. It's like, oh, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like this, I'm not believing any more of your tough talk about you're retiring or that. Like you have pulled the rug out from under us with your tough talk like a dozen times in the recent years.
Insulting everyone over there, these idiots on TV, these idiots driving crazy. I just thought it was a little bit too much with the pomp and circumstance when we're getting the exact same thing. No one cares about TNT. No one gives a crap. Zoli and Isles.
The only time people will turn TNT on now is for like hockey or college basketball tournament games.
Yep.
If they can find them, if Broadus can find them, then they'll turn it on.
More trouble for Zion. He is being sued over allegations of rape and years of abuse. A woman has said that he conducted sexual, physical, emotional, and financial abuse over the span of a multi-year relationship, accused him of a continuing pattern of abusive, controlling, and threatening behavior that started with his freshman year at Duke and lasted from 2018 to 2023. Two alleged incidents of rape in 2020, first taking place in Beverly Hills. She apparently, allegedly, told Zion she was tired and wanted to go to sleep. He said, you cannot go to sleep until you have sex with me. He then allegedly pinned her down. Not going to get into all the graphic stuff. And then a second incident apparently, allegedly occurred October 2020, also in Beverly Hills. So Zion Williamson is now looking at this allegation. She wants upwards of $50 million, $18 to $50 million. And then do you remember that woman who was outing him on social media, saying, this fat slob, he's drinking, look at all these Coke cans in my room.
Yeah, Mariah Mills.
Mariah Mills. She has now come out and said she is thinking about partnering up with Tony Busby, and she hopes all the alleged victims get their justice.
Wow. Busby's got his hand in everything.
Yeah.
Is he just he's obviously just the go-to?
There's some people who they basically become like the preeminent voice of, like, let's go after this. So, like, I mean, yeah, right now in sports and going after athletes for assault cases, he's the number one. He's the default.
Scottie Scheffler joins Tiger Woods as the only golfers ever to win back-to-back Memorials. Dominance. This is why I questioned you a little bit when we were arguing the best golfer, like who you would take. And I think you were saying you'd take Rory. I think Bobby and I were more towards Scheffler. It just seems like dominance.
It is dominance. Because, at the time of the Masters, Rory had a better year. Scottie hadn't had a great year at that point. But ever since then, obviously winning the PGA and now winning this, he is on such a streak. The wild thing is he has to do this. Like, he's not... I can't remember the stat, but he's not even close. Like, Tiger was so good that Scheffler would have to do this for the next, 10 years to even come close.
So describe, what's Scheffler's game?
Irons. He is the best iron player in the world. It's not even close. And he's really, there's a golf analytics. They always say drive for show,
putt
for
dough. Money tee.
Right. Yeah, money tee. So there's an old adage, drive for show, putt for dough, right? Where people would say that, your putter is the number one thing that you've got to work on. And the other side of that is like, well, it's the irons, because it's not sustainable to be rolling in 30 footers all the time. But if you're always within 10 feet on your approach shot for birdie, those are so makeable. And Scottie has figured that out. Like, he is not the best putter in the world. Like, he's okay. He's good enough. But he is just such a good iron player that he can get it. He can get it close from anywhere. He can get it. He can get out of trouble. He can scramble if he has to. His iron play is far and away the best in the game.
There was this. You mentioned Scottie and Tiger together. There's this funny clip. We were talking about it during a break recently of him recently. Like, he's taking practice shots with Tiger, and he's asking. He's like, "What's with the no divots thing?" And Tiger's like, "If I'm hitting clean, I don't take divots." And he's like, "What do you mean?" Like, in a blue Scottie's brain, like, how are you hitting it? That, but you can just see, like, even something like Scheffler's just like quaky, like talking about, like, how do you do that? Yeah. Like, reveres him so much. By the way, it's datagolf.com, not money tee.
Choppy also saying that another DFW star still must see Jordan Spieth. I know he's must listen, as we had this interaction between he and his caddy.
We're trying to make five.
I know. It's just, if Vince can get to the fairway, then I can make it four. But you not make it, versus do I still make five if it doesn't get to the fairway?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you've got, if it stays in that rough there, it doesn't get there, you're going to have like once.
I'm going to have to lay it up again, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's try it.
It's always the main four, John.
This has to be hit so hard to go 115.
Let's just hit it right here.
I don't want to hit it. Because I'm hitting good shots and they're getting absolutely boned so far. So I can't accept
it. If you think 8 out of 10 of these are not getting there, 7 out of 10, then we're hitting over here.
I just don't know if it makes that big of a scoring difference. Because over here, then, worst case, you light up again and hit a close make 5. All right. Try it. 115.
115.
I think it's important to remember that Michael Greller has the patience of a school teacher.
This is like your wife picking out the outfit or the restaurant.
It really is.
Man, this sounds stressful.
It really is.
And why is Spieth still must watch?
Because he has interactions like that. He has blow-up holes. He is one of the great scramblers on tour. Like, so this weekend, he hits his tee shot into the rough, thick, super thick rough. And then he has to, like, kind of punch up there. And he hits it. First of all, if you're going to a golf tournament, why are you standing just to the right and kind of in their way when it's...
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tee Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE today or visit mensteeclinic.com. That's MinsteeClinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's super thick rough. And these guys almost got their heads taken off. I mean, literally, there was a guy in a yellow shirt. He had a duck out of the way. This thing came right at his head. And he was maybe 75 feet in front of Jordan Spieth, just to the right. And Jordan, like, you know, hits it in the rough again, hits it up onto the green, and then it sinks like a 20-footer. Classic Jordan Spieth par, right? Classic par.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he has, like, it's a weird year. It's a weird career for him. He was so great early on. And then he's kind of, like, gone in and out of being great, good. He hasn't won on a tour, I don't think, since, like, 22. It's been a couple years. He's got four top tens this year, so he's played a little bit better. Missed a cut at the PGA, though. Top 15 of the Masters. So, but he's much watch.
So there it is. Congrats again to Mr. DFW Scotty Scheffler owning the entire sport right now. Let's hook you up with Rangers tickets and bring you some Diamond Cavs. Was Bruce Bochy listening to RJ Choppy over the weekend? That's next on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Matt set, kicks and fires, and Berger lines one to left. That's a base hit. Rounding third is Osuna. He will score. Or Young scores. Osuna goes to third, and it's a double for Berger. It's 4-1, Texas.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
I don't know if you saw this, but the Rangers used a quirk in the rule book yesterday.
Oh.
You see this one, Bobby?
I did not see
okay.
this.
Okay. So, there's a loophole.
You were at the game. What were you doing?
We're in the suite. There's a lot of alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Was more Kristen on that there? At 7:40. Yes,
was Kristen was. There at 9:30 lining up, first one in the stadium?
We were the first one there. We were there at 10:50.
All right. So, they did this in the, they initially did this in the seventh inning, and they did this again in the eighth. You know, there's a quirk in the rule book that when there's a runner on third and less than two outs, you can hit a fly ball to the outfield and score that run. It's called manufacturing a run.
Ah.
All right. They're not, I know.
Is that a slang term for it, or is there like a slang technical term?
I don't think it's the true technical term. But they did this a couple of times in this game. And then there's another weird quirk where you can take like a half swing and like almost receive the ball with the bat, let the ball only go about 30 feet. And the guy from third runs home, and you can score that way, too. And that's called a safety squeeze.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. So a sacrifice fly did that twice, and then the safety squeeze is called manufacturing runs. It's a wonderful job by Bochy and Boone and CY to really look up the rule book and see where they can find loopholes.
I know we're being kind of sarcastic here, just a little.
Kind of.
but, like, is legitimately, is this...
Corey Majors would be proud.
Is this a Boone thing, I wonder? Because Boone's talked about the last couple weeks. It's like the big thing to him is like, let's advance runners. Let's move things. Like, this is going to be like a big focus for me.
I think Boone calls the pregame meeting and he squares around in the cage and they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what is this?
What is that thing? What are you doing with your bat? You're going to get your fingers hit.
Can you imagine Brett just sitting there taking like BP underneath? This is red, squares the butt, the first two or three pitches that are thrown.
The Texas Rangers won a series for the first time since sweeping Colorado mid-May. So first series win since May 12th through the 14th. The Cardinals, by the way, as Bobby was pointing out, lost a series for just the second time in their last 11. They're still seven games over 500. And Jacob deGrom, even though Bobby has been picking on him for weeks now, allowed two runs or less for the eighth straight start.
That's pretty good.
Two or less, eight straight times out.
And they've won, what, three of those starts probably?
Right.
It's sad, right?
I do. Let me just defend myself a little bit. And not even defend myself. He's still really good. It's just what you're looking at right now so far through 11 years pitching, or 12, this is 12th season. This is the lowest strikeouts per nine innings of his career. It's the second highest walks per nine. It's the second highest home runs per nine. So, like, some of the peripheral numbers are not great for him right now. He's still really good. It's just not
time for you to adjust your expectations.
I've got him adjusted.
You're like, is this still not the same guy? He's 36.
I've adjusted.
This might be it. This
just no, it is.
Time to recalibrate.
And still,
like era adjusted stats? You got to do this. Defensive adjusted stats?
Age adjusted stats.
Yeah, this is DeGrom adjusted, age adjusted.
That's even a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago, and even last year probably I would have said, I would want DeGrom out there more than Evaldi. Like now you're at a point now where it's like Evaldi's probably better at this point.
Evaldi's. It's interesting. That's it. Not currently because he's on the injured list. And he was sent there.
They reversed roles. Evaldi's better than on the injured list. DeGrom was that way previously.
This is after he left his start after a couple of innings last week. So that was a little concerning. But here we are. The Rangers place him on the injured list. So this is one thing. They hadn't hit. Seager was on the injured list. Carter got hurt. Now Evaldi.
Thought it was just precautionary.
Right. I love that word, precautionary. When I hear the word precautionary with a pitcher, I'm scared to death.
Yeah, because it half the time seems to end up in like, oh, he doesn't have his elbow anymore. It's just gone.
But one thing, going back to the sacrifice flies and the safety squeezes and stuff, and this is where like the new way of the sport, the analytic way of the sport has kind of come to a crossroads here is, on a game-to-game basis, what we're finding is that teams are starting to transition back to the older way. Like they're still using the idea of, hey, don't bunt, don't steal, don't do all that stuff, don't risk the outs. That works over 162 games, but what teams are recognizing is that each game is its own season. And, adding a run here, a run there, a run, you know what I mean? Like you add one run in the fifth, one more run in the sixth, one in the eighth. Like those tack-on runs matter. And that these teams are starting to kind of maybe go back to that old way. Not necessarily bunting, just sacrifice bunting. But trying to be more adept at getting guys in from third base. How many times in a playoff game have you seen over the last 15 years? Runner on second, nobody out, and he doesn't score.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to score that run. Runner on third, one out. And you're swinging from your heels. Just try to hit a home run. Just get a ball in the outfield.
You know how they have the skills competition in the NBA, which Wembanyama and the Spurs tried to cheat? I would pay to watch a baseball skills competition of making guys hit the other way and making guys try to bunt,
to
see who could actually do it.
Yeah, because we were at the Blue Jays game last Monday. They had a guy on. They had first and second, and it was like their five hole hitter. I think it was their five hole hitter, and no bunting. And that's fine. Like it's five hole hitter, right? You don't necessarily bunt your five hole.
Yeah,
but
it's like having a 2-on-1 fast break. Like you have to score.
You have to score on it. And let's just say it's not the five. Let's say it's your 7 or 8 guy. And your reason for not is, well, he doesn't do it. He doesn't know how to. What is he doing? He's in the he takes batting practice every day.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't work on things as soon as the season starts.
And you called it tack on runs a little bit ago, which this team.
That's an old Buck term.
Buck
used to say that. He used to call them tack on.
Yeah, I remember. No, that was like, that's something that Texas especially needs to embrace that. Because they need to embrace anything they can get on in the run column. Right now, like, they're under 500. I think Sandler had the note yesterday. They're 21-3 this year when they score four runs or something absurd. And if you look at appearances of five innings and two runs or fewer allowed, Texas has three of the top five starters with the most games this year like that. And they're under 500. And it's because they need to emphasize some of those tack-on runs.
What do we think about Bruce Bochy and what he did this weekend with Adolis Garcia? He was a healthy scratch for all three games.
Tolo and RJ Choppy, Diamond Cavs in the morning. By the way, we have a Rangers ticket giveaway coming up here during the Expressway. Them best and worst of the weekend and Rangers tickets all week long.
It is much appreciated that Bochy would listen. I don't recommend it. Don't ever do a thing I say. I'm a moron. But it's appreciated. But I assume they are trying to fix something with him because they had Thursday off, right? They had a Thursday off, and now they have today off. So He would not have played since Wednesday. I assume they're trying to work on something mechanical with him.
Says working on mechanics.
There you go. And now the question is, how long do you keep him out for? Like, how good does the mechanical changes have to be? And is this Boone? Did Boone initiate this? Is this initiated from the front office?
Man, he had, over his 10 games played prior to this, he was striking out one out of every two at-bats. He had 17 strikeouts and 14 plate appearances. Just, he's just been chasing.
Zero discipline.
Yeah, he's been
early. Is it mechanics or is it like discipline?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the swing and missing like that, especially if they're like pitches out of the zone, I don't know how that's mechanics. Discipline, maybe his eyes go, maybe he needs glasses.
It's a good thing that Bochy did not listen to you on Semien, because right now we're talking about 7 hits in his last 3 games for Marcus, including a 4-for-4 on Friday.
Yeah. 7 hits. He had 8 at-bats total. I mean, he got a couple of walks thrown in there. So 8 at-bats total and 7 hits over the weekend, which is, I mean, just tremendous. And, you know, he did have the home run. So his pop is maybe it's coming back. I don't know what his bat speed was, his barrel rate, you know, and some of those numbers were pretty bad.
Got the average up to what?
Yes. Say you got it up to 201.
Yeah.
201 on the dot.
On the dot.
Is
well
it?
Done. It's gone up almost 30 points.
You have a stat.
I don't. Right? I have Garcia up right now. I was looking at his awful chase
it,
rate.
I can see it.
Look at
I
that.
Have, oh! I have Garcia
I'm
up.
Out. You don't. I'm joking.
I have Garcia up. Yeah, Peyton. So, worry about getting your little billboard reads out. Coming back in from break.
You got to read here an hour.
You caused
Bobby
a crash at the expressway with that verbal language.
Yeah, but his average got up almost 30 points over the weekend. It's pretty crazy.
Speaking of Adolis Garcia, whose numbers I'm looking at right now, Peyton, his chase rate, his career high before this was 34%. His chase rate right now is 41% this year. Like he has zero discipline. It's gotten worse, significantly worse.
And let's not forget, by the way, Jack Leiter. And let's highlight what he's done, because we're talking about trade deadline. You may have to give up some arms for bats since May 8th. Well, after the May 8th start, Leiter has given up 1-3-2 Ooh. And 0 in 5 2/3. Again, it's a crooked number to start the month. The ERA for the month is a 4-3-2. But in his last 4 starts, he has not allowed more than 3 runs.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody who has started limiting the home run ball. There's still some of the wild nature times with the walks, but he's been battling. That's been the biggest problem with him in the past, was he could never battle out of tough situations. And ESPN last week, now this is from a fantasy perspective, but still interesting that their analysts would look at this. They were looking at, all right, who are your next big hidden breakout aces? And one of the guys that they highlighted for fantasy was Jack Leiter. They said, not every pitcher clicks initially at the big league level, and it's not like Al's kid has had extensive exposure either. Despite his ghastly results early in his minor league career, as well as his 2024 debut with the Rangers, Leiter at times exhibits the front of the rotation stuff that earned him the number 2 overall selection in the 21 draft. Talking about his fastball, the way he commands a slider. And they said he's the future ace prospect who might come at among the deepest discounts on any name on the list. But if he keeps showing the kind of incremental progress he did during spring training across the past 3 starts, he might be due for a big step forward by mid-year. And that's the biggest thing, is that I think everybody's biggest concern with him heading into this year was just between the ears. And like his ability to weather through adversity. And that was what was causing him a lot of problems. This year, he's gotten out of a lot of different jams.
Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, real quick, special shout out to the Colorado Rockies. I just saw this stat. Ready for this? They have been swept more times in more series than they have total wins on the year. They've been swept 10 times. They've got 9 wins.
That hurts.
Just disband them.
Awful.
Get rid of them.
Awful. Honestly.
Get them out. No one cares, right? You got that ballpark. Are they even hitting better at home?
They're slightly better.
Slightly.
At home.
It's wild, man. What they've done, what they've been unable to do, I should say.
I mean, it's still insane. We're a little over a third of the way through the season. Their run differential right now would have been the 3rd worst in Major League Baseball last year for the whole year.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Texas Rangers. Day off today. Then they start the road trip in Tampa Bay with Sean, RJ, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tickets to see the Texas Rangers take on the Kansas City Royals on Tuesday, June 17th at Globe Life Field in Arlington. And you'll want to get the early Tolos because the first 20,000 fans in the gate will also receive a 2023 World Series Final Out bobblehead. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Let us know everything you got into, whether it was boring or debauchery. This is where we recap what you did over the past few days in best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
What was your best of the weekend? What was your worst of the weekend? This HOV portion of the Expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. And the way to hit us up with your stories, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And he said he had baby fever recently. And congratulations to parent.
Yeah.
New parent, RJ Choppy.
That's right. We are a new parent again.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't get another dog.
That was a quick delivery.
Oh. It was a very quick delivery. Very quick. Makes me wonder. No. Yeah, so in the backyard, we have, in our patio, we have like this hanging planter, fake plant, okay? And just to the left of it, in the sun, we have another one, and fake plant again. We were going to switch the two because the one was new, and it was going to burn up in the sun. She was like, let's just switch it. I was like, okay, so we go up there, and we get the ladder out and go up to take the one planter down. It's off the hook, so you got to get up there. And I had known that there was birds that go up there a lot, but I didn't know that they had eggs. They had eggs, and they had hatched. I didn't know they had hatched.
Oh.
So there are two baby birds in this planter. So cool, so cute, so cute. I wanted to. And they looked right up at me. They looked up at me, and they didn't open their mouth. I wasn't gonna baby bird them. All right, I wasn't going to do that, but they didn't open their mouth, but they looked right up at me and said, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me, sir. And I was like, you know what? I can't move them. I can't move the chicks.
Mm.
You're not allowed to touch nests, right? Can't do that. So I put them back.
You're not allowed to touch any nests?
I've heard, like, I don't know.
Just like a bald eagle.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, because what? So I think it's a myth. We grew up here. I grew up anyway, at least here and right here. Like, if you touch a baby bird, the mother will reject it. Like, it'll smell human scent on it and, like, reject the bird. That was what we always heard growing up.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but, so I didn't move it. I put it back. But we've seen the mom and the dad. Now I guess they're both living in there now. And it's just cool.
It is a myth, by the way.
It's a myth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're parents. We're bird parents. Super excited about that. Super excited.
Have you named them?
Yeah, they were. Thank you. I didn't really have anything to do with them, so I can't really take credit for it. No, we've not named them. We should. I didn't even think of that.
Got to name one after old Pee-Pee in the morning back there. Give him a bird.
Or name one Bobby, like the female dog that we're...
We both have dogs. Peyton and I both,
yes.
that are looking for adoption. Both myself and Peyton.
You know what? I think we are. We're naming Bobby and Pepe. That's what we'll do. Bobby and Pepe. Other best for me, real quick.
So you're just gonna keep them there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, they'll fly away eventually, and then once they're gone,
and no danger ever of them, like no bird has ever come close to flying in your house.
No, it's on the other side of the patio. The patio's not very big. It's probably a 10x10, so it's on the other side of the patio from the door. But every time we open the door, they fly away. So those birds, as soon as those birds are ready to fly, you know, then we might move them. I don't know when they're gonna be ready to fly, but you know, they'll be gone. They'll be gone. Next one, real quick. I have another best. If you don't think bribery works as a parent, you are kidding yourself.
Yep.
We bribed Julian at this pool party on Saturday. We were going there. The family has twin boys. They're 7 years old. I was like, if you're not good to these kids, if you're not nice to them, if you try to bully them or you try to be a little jerk, you ain't going to this sleepover tonight. It was perfect. A perfect angel. Bribery I will say, has always and will always be the greatest parenting tactic.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? I lollipop bribery.
Oh.
Stop by and get you a little race car bribery. Ice cream bribery. Slushy bribery. I do it every single week. Him going to school every day. You can have iPad time. Bribery. All of it. Lying and bribes.
Yeah, lying and bribes.
I don't think anybody like rejects the idea that it works. Like, it definitely works. The issue is, like, what kind of like little monster are you dealing with,
right?
That potentially, like, somebody like Laura starts realizing, like, oh, I'll just leverage the situation into something. So if I give resistance, I'm getting something out of this. Somebody like Addison, it'll work to help her overcome a fear or something like that. Like, all right, just go ahead, do this. We'll get you this when you're done. But, like, depending on the kid, I think it changes the way they then operate, and then they can get a little tactical with you.
Yeah, it depends on how manipulative they are.
Yeah, I do these things in my house, and I'm like, okay, when will this cycle be able to end? Like, right now he's getting away with not eating vegetables. Is, like, magically when he's really able to talk with me back and forth, gonna flip to vegetables one day? Like, the trained behavior is not going well early on.
Will he eat any?
Peas and carrots.
Okay. It's something.
I mean,
carrots are good for your eyes, right? They say good for your eyes.
That's probably another myth.
Probably is.
No idea. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, that's probably another myth. But yeah, it's not going well with the trained behavior early on. I see other kids eating corn, and he doesn't eat anything. He's awful.
Isn't that? But like, I mean, I've always felt like, I mean, I wouldn't even eat peas or carrot. Like, I mean, I didn't.
Nobody eats peas.
I ate fewer vegetables up until, like, I got married, and Kristen kind of swung me to broccoli a little bit. But other than that, like, I won't do veggies.
I'll tell you, the greatest thing for the pea, the pea community, is when people mixed it with rice. That's the only time I eat peas.
Yeah,
Indian mixed food, it with rice.
It'll be there a lot.
They just have it's like, as soon as you bite into it, the texture and the taste and stuff, it's just like, this is gross.
Like,
I think it tastes like baby food. Like I mean, there's so much you're feeding it, but I mean, it really does have that consistency.
You
to
like
it,
but you never eat them, right? Or do you?
Don't eat them.
Yeah,
never eat them.
Edamame, sure.
Edamame. It's just like when Thanksgiving rolls around and I'm like, why don't I eat cranberry ever? I like this. It's refreshing. It cuts through all the gravy and the stuffing. Why don't I ever have a jar of cranberries? You never eat cranberries outside of the holidays.
It is refreshing, and that makes it wonder why we don't have it like in the summer.
I know. Do you like them?
I mean,
I'm talking about the canned ones, not with the berries and all the texture. Straight can, homie.
With the ridges all over.
With the lines and the ridges.
Yeah.
Yes. Am I the only one? I mean, I like it.
The Thanksgiving food I'm like that with is the stuffing.
Stuffing.
I was like, why don't we have that? That feels like that would complement more things we eat throughout the year. I don't know why we're just so resistant to it.
We're very resistant.
We have mashed potatoes throughout the year. Yeah. You don't have stuffing throughout the year. You ever have your corn casserole at any other time during the year?
I won't even have that at Thanksgiving.
Nobody ever has that anytime.
Sweet potato pie. All right, best and worst of the weekend.
Right, I got one more. I got one worst here. I do need a new phone.
Oh, so do I, apparently.
And I hate this because, like, I think it's a sign of getting old where you just, I don't want to get a new phone.
Nope. I am so resistant.
Yeah.
I don't want to go sit in the store. I don't know how it works. I don't know whether they can just swap over the numbers. I don't have my cloud on. Like, this is where I need Bobby for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to re-download all the apps. I don't want new passwords. I don't know. I'm an old man with this.
Yeah.
I need help with the remote control.
But my AppleCare, I got like the 2 years AppleCare when I bought it.
Well.
It ends this month. So now I would be walking around basically naked. Because the phone, if I break it or something like that, I would have to buy a new one, and now I wouldn't be able to trade it in. So I could just take this down, trade it in, and basically get a free phone.
Okay.
All right, because it's the rebate they would give you for trading your phone in would essentially equate to a brand new phone.
I'm so scared of getting a new phone. I have a new phone at the house. I have a new phone that's been sitting there since my parents came last because my mom forced me to get it. She's like,
that's a few months, right? Like, they've been here
at least 6 months.
You've had a new phone so long, it's an old phone.
I don't know. But I'm petrified to, I'm like, until this totally conks out and breaks, or the battery starts just draining, I'm not gonna go through that process. I don't want to do it.
It's a brutal process.
What do you mean, by the way, that you say, like, with the trade in and the rebate that you'll get, like, essentially free phone? Are you who's your carrier?
AT&T.
Okay, so do they still do the, like, you can trade in and get a new phone? They don't do the installment thing? I thought all the mobile plans had switched over. You got to pay installments for your phone.
You do if you don't have one to trade in. So if I wanted to just go buy one, I could do an installment payment. If I just take this and trade it in,
they'll give you the whole thing back.
It's like $1,100, but they give you like $1,100.
I feel like they used to do that with the upgrades, but man, I haven't experienced that with the full on trade in being worth anything in a while.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You guys crash all the time. That's why it's there. I went to the Rangers game over the weekend, which was great. Went on Sunday. Kyle Frazier from Frazier Roofs and Gutters. If you got pelted by the hail yesterday, need your roof looked at, give Kyle a call. We went and hung out yesterday. It was a good time. His buddy Joe was there. Joe, a big fan of the morning show, big listener to the morning show. He was, every time I was telling some sort of a story or trying to give context, I don't want to assume everybody knows everything about what we discuss or anything else. So I'll try and set the background. And every time I'd start trying to set the background, Joe would like finish the story. He's like, blah, blah, blah. He's like, see, yeah, I listen. And so I was like, yeah, I get it. I'm just trying to give context in case you don't listen. So it was a great time. We enjoyed it. The only problem that was here, we were in the suite. That was awesome.
Packed house?
It wasn't totally full, but I mean, it was a pretty decent crowd.
Open the roof. Ranger fans after Friday wanted the roof open and to be kept open. Bassick shamed some people who went at him on social media. He called him out on the Roku broadcast saying, I'm sorry you couldn't tough it out in 85-degree weather. Ooh. Yeah, he said it.
Mike, he had to do that
on
Roku.
He had to be national broadcast guy.
Well, I think it's more he said it on Roku because he knew no one's watching and no fans would hold him accountable.
Damn.
So we can't fight it. That's the biggest thing. Now, it was great, but I mean, the traffic heading in there was brutal, apparently, for Cody and Kyle. They said that they were heading in there. Cody had gotten stuck in there. He said it was 20 minutes, like a mile from the stadium. He sat in traffic. And then he said it was another like 10 to 15 just getting through the line to get into the stadium. Meanwhile, we like walked right in. We got there an hour and 10 minutes before the game. Wow. So we're just kind of sitting there by ourselves. Nobody else walked in until like 11:50. So we're just sitting there by ourselves for an hour. The lady kept coming in, checking the suite, and like talking to us as if we're just holding it for ourselves directly. I felt kind of weird about that.
Is that your worst of the weekend, having that?
No. It was a good
one-on-one time with your wife?
No, it was a good time. The worst of the weekend was from Cody tattling. Cody, who
Cody
works
is
for
who?
Cody is our, what's the term he said?
Sales
the
guy.
Orwellian term.
Marketing executive.
Consultant, yes. He's getting married coming up here soon. And I'm going to be in his wedding. So one of the things he's doing is he's getting everybody suits.
That's
in his wedding party. Yeah. He's getting everybody suits that's in his groomsman party.
Oh.
So he has been sending on the group text everybody to get their measurements. I tend to just take a long time to do anything that I'm told to do. I tend to drag my feet, got a lot going on. Well, I've told him, all right, I'm getting it done. He took this opportunity around Kristen just tattle on me.
Good.
So when he was off to the side, he made sure to tell Kristen, like, hey, he's not getting me his suit measurements. So then I was getting an earful in the suite on the ride home last night. So when are you going to make this point? Now it's just like on top of me consistently trying to get me to do something that I don't like the pressure. I'd rather just do it at my own leisurely pace.
Pay, best and worst of the weekend, and Fantex 877-881-1053 for your weekend tales.
Real quick, the 972 says they went to Choctaw, which I might be going there this weekend. I'm talking to McKenzie right now, might be staying the night Friday. But more details to come later on this week.
After your story you're about to tell, you're going to go to the casino?
Yeah, because I got to win all the money back to buy a new car, Sean. That's the easy question. Yeah, McKenzie called me Friday. It was such a relaxing weekend. You know, the whole weekend I could just, you know, relax. The yard work didn't really leave the place. But then Friday really ruined it for me from the get-go. She called me after my nap and said, hey, my car's shaking. I said, what do you mean shaking? You went over the railroad tracks something? She goes, no, like it's been shaking after I went over the railroad tracks. And I continued to drive. She said she had to pull over and she checked the car. I was like, well, what are you doing? And she took it to the shop.
What are you doing checking, or what are you doing pulling over?
Pulling over. I mean, she was like 5 minutes from the house. Like, you just got to keep going. You can't be pulling over. Yeah. Just come on to the house, you know? So she took it to her dad.
Amanda will get mad at that. Like, if we have a flat, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make it the 10-minute drive to the shop. And she's like, no, we're going to this and that. I'm like, I don't want to sit and wait for, I'm not going to change it. I don't want to sit there and wait for a tow truck. Like, I'm going to make it to the auto shop. But no, she always makes me stop.
Something of a drive shaft. Something was disconnected, blah, blah.
You dissected that?
No, her dad did. Her dad owns an auto shop.
He does?
Yeah. He does, yeah.
I'm glad we have this hooked up. You're selfish.
What's the matter here? How is this a secret?
You guys never knew that?
No. No.
When's your house party, by the way, too? When's that coming around, Peyton?
Probably July, end of July.
Get so this guy a ring. Get this guy, you know, AC, you know, help. All these service, free food and drink at Post Malone.
Yeah, deaf ears.
Can't even
deaf
tell ears. Us he's got an auto shop hookup.
He's got an auto shop. There you go. You can hit me up for that, by the way. But yeah, so she might be getting a new car soon. You know, I paid off mine a few months ago. I was like, okay, we can go a full year of just worrying about the mortgage, utility bills. And because she's had her car since you know, she first got a car. So over 10 years now, she's had the same car. But it's never had an issue really before. And now it's starting to break down. I'm afraid we're going to have to buy a new car soon. I was hoping to go a whole year without any car payments.
And you're probably going to have to get an SUV since you're,
you got baby fever. Fever. Minivan.
And apparently you can't fit babies in a Camaro. I'm trying to put the car seat in the back. I'm like, okay, if you put it in the middle section of the back seat, you know, kind of leans over in the front a little bit, it'll be fine. But
isn't that illegal to put them in the middle in the back?
I don't know.
I think so.
Like I think it might be. Windshield? Yeah, I think it might be. But they probably don't have those hooks there, right?
I don't know. No, that's a good point. We've always put it on the back side, but I don't know if that's actually illegal or not.
And your best of the weekend was just chilling?
Just relaxing, just because I was come back from the bachelor trip last weekend. So, you know, I got back late Sunday last week, so I don't really have a weekend to just relax. So it was just relaxation for me, really.
My best of the weekend, I had a little family outing in Arlington. Awful. Oh, 30. God, 30 West. Every time I go out, I said, why am I leaving the vicinity of our neighborhood? Why am I not just staying in Rockwall, Heath, Mesquite, Garland? It's torture.
Of 30 was it? Was it like around
the hallway?
Oh, the hallway. It wasn't just like around here.
I mean, basically breaking past the 35 merge.
Yeah.
Then you get some relief. And then right before Collins and Randall Mill, it starts up again. Yeah. But like 80 to 30, and there's no accident. That's what Amanda said. She's like, watch. I'm like, someone better be. I better see some carnage.
I always say the same thing. Yeah.
There better be something here worth this while. Nothing. It's just too many people live here.
Yeah.
Trying to sit there and 635. There's about 80, 30. Everyone's just waiting to get on 635 every single morning. But 30 West, screw you and screw those who are not helping smooth it out. And Ava was good at the party and everything. She wouldn't take a nap, but she was pretty good. Worst of the weekend. Aiden, do you have it on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube? This little monster has taken over my life. Does anyone know what that is?
No. Why do I feel like I've seen this before?
Because you're on TikTok.
Yeah.
And what runs my life, Bobby Belt?
TikTok.
TikTok runs my life because of the wife. That is LaBooBoo. LaBooBoo, a viral, stupid stuffed animal that women are now putting on their purses.
It's a Richie Valens song, too.
That's La Bamba.
Oh, La Bamba. Sorry. Okay. LaBooBoo.
So gotcha. It starts off like everything in my life with TikTok. My wife going, ha ha. Have you seen this? Ha ha. Can you believe people are doing this? Ha ha. It's trendy. Ha ha. Is it sold near me? Ha ha. I'm at the store. And thank God she could not find one of these. So instead of LaBooBoo, she's in search of LaFooFoo. LaFooFoo are the fake ones. And I said, what are you going to do with it? Once you get it, she's like, put it on my purse. I'm like, that would look stupid. Like, here I am buying this nice, like, whatever designer purse for Christmas, and you want to put this stuffed animal hanging off of it. But
yeah, you can't put a LaBooBoo on a Birkin.
Bumper stickers on the Rolls Royce.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't put that on the.
This is the new viral thing.
No.
That everyone's after. LaBooBoo, or in the fake world, LaFooFoo.
Amanda deserves a lot of credit. No, she deserves a lot of credit for the incrementalism she's clearly getting with. I like the strategy. Bring it up, laugh at it.
Yeah.
Laugh a little less each time and slowly just like get you used to the idea. This is in your life and I'm going to. Like, I think she starts out initially going, I'm getting this and now here's my play.
That's genius.
That's a clinic. I mean, she put a clinic on there. Good for her.
Yeah. Thank God the store didn't have it, but I'm sure.
But she got a LaFooFoo.
She did not. They didn't even have the LaFooFoo.
Oh,
yeah, she would have gotten a LaFooFoo, but she wants a LaBooBoo, but BooBoo and FooFoo are both gone.
She hasn't just, I don't want to say it. I don't want to give her any ideas.
Yeah, you going to say where to get it?
Like, I was like, she's just go to TikTok shop. I'm sure it's on there.
Oh, I think they're like $40 a piece for this little thing.
God. Let me look. I'll look for it.
Yeah, thanks. 877-881-1053. How poker could be Joe Milton's quarterback key here with the Cowboys. That's next. Inside the Star on the home of America's team after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com.
That's MinsteeClinic.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.